I will invite you to open your Bibles in the book of Nehemiah tonight, Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. Now, if you split open your Bibles around the middle, you will find the book of Psalms. If you go back a little bit, you will find Job, and a little bit Esther, a little bit more Nehemiah. Or if you open your Bible in Genesis, go forward, book of Chronicles, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Esdras, Nehemiah. There you will find it. I'm doing that because I find really hard to encounter the book of Nehemiah many times. And sometimes I'm like, where is it? Where is it? So I don't want you to be searching for it. So it's around the middle of your Bibles. Nehemiah chapter 9 tonight, verses 9 through 8. But the center of what we are going to talk about is found in verse 6, just for your information. So that's going to be the focus of our attention tonight, verse 6. And if you have it, please stand to hear God's holy and inspired word as it is read to you tonight. This is God's word. Now, on the 24th day of this month, the people of Israel were assembled with fasting and sackcloth and with earth on their heads. And the Israelites separated themselves from all the foreigners and stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for a quarter of the day. For another quarter of it, they made confession and worshipped the Lord their God. On the stairs of the Levites stood Jeshua, Bani, Kadmiel, Shebaniah, Bani, Sherebiah, Bani, and Chenani. And they cried with a loud voice to the Lord their God. Then the Levites, Jeshua, Kadmiel, Bani, Hashabniah, Sherebiah, Hodiah, Shebaniah, and Pethahiah, said, "Stand up and bless the Lord your God from everlasting to everlasting. Blessed be your glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. You are the Lord, you alone. You have made heaven, the heavens of heavens, with all their host, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve all of them, and the host of heaven worships you. You are the Lord, the God who chose Abram and brought him out of Ur of the Chaldeans and gave him the name of Abraham. You found his heart faithful before you and made with him the covenant to give to his offspring the land of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Jebusite, and the Girgashite. And you have kept your promise, for you are righteous." Thus far the reading of God's word. You may be seated. Now, tonight's reading of the Catechism has us in Lord's Day 9, and we have question 26. Before I read so, though, let me remind you that we found an introduction of the Trinity in the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 8. And we found this threefold division, which is related to the actions of every single one of the persons of the Trinity in the work of redemption. God, our Creator, the Son, our Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, our Comforter, and the one who applies the work of salvation to us. Tonight, we are going to consider God the Father and His work of creation. Next week, we are going to, we will consider Lord's Day 10 and God the Father as in His work of providence. So just for you to have a map of the things that we are going to consider. So let me just read for you question 26. What do you believe when you say, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth"? Answer, that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who out of nothing created heaven and earth and everything in them, who still upholds and rules them by his eternal counsel and providence, is my God and Father for the sake of Christ, his Son. I trust God so much that I do not doubt he will provide whatever I need for body and soul and will turn to my good whatever adversity he sends upon me in this veil of tears. He is able to do this because he is Almighty God. He desires to do this because he is a faithful Father. And that is our confessional reading for tonight. Now, congregation of the Lord, have you realized that the world we live in is a very scary place? Now, you may not think about it until you experience something that opens your eyes and your senses to the dangers that we face daily. Just a week or so, for example, a massive tornado moved through Nebraska and took the lives of many people. Or a meteorite can hit the earth at any time and destroy the earth entirely. Or the earth can move away from its path and will destroy life forever here on the planet. Not to mention that we can also contract a sickness anytime. A new disease can kill us immediately. Or what about just a small snuffle that we don't know what it is, and then we are dead? And what about our day-to-day struggles? What if I lose my job tomorrow? What if I don't have enough money to sustain my family? Or what if someone breaks in my house, and then what should I do? Is someone in control of this world? Or is it like many movies and TV shows out there, and how they put it, is like just random atoms coming together and giving us the illusion from the outside that everything is in order, but in reality, everything is chaos. There is no purpose in life whatsoever. But you see, against that understanding, scriptures and the Heidelberg Catechism, quoting and echoing the scriptures, wants us to remember that God is our Father in Jesus Christ, or that our Father is God in Jesus Christ. And that is the theme for us tonight. And we will see it in three parts. First, He created us. Second, He provides for us. And third, He cares of me. So He created the world. He provides for me. He cares of me. So let's see the first point then. God created the world. And I want you to notice, especially you boys and girls, how the Catechism is concerned with always placing all things in its proper place. The Catechism affirms that God the Father is called the Father because He is first and foremost the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is, we call God Father because that's exactly who He is in His essence. There was never a moment in eternity past when the Father was not the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. Fatherhood is what defines what the first person of the Trinity is. Our fathers here on earth are simply a dim, muddy reflection of who God is as a father. Some fathers resemble this role better than others. And some, sadly, destroy and stain this image and this role of father. But as Christian men, young and old, dear brothers, the fact that God is Father and that we are to imitate and walk after Him should move us, with the aid of the Holy Spirit, of course, to seek to be better fathers, to seek to resemble His heavenly fatherhood better, because that's who God is. Because it is God the Father whom we are representing to our children. Every single time that they see us, they are seeing an image, a representation of who God the Father is in His role of fatherhood, in His nature as Father of the Son, the second person of the Trinity. But in any case, the main avenue of the Heidelberg Catechism tonight is to show us that God the Father is also God the Creator, the one who created everything that exists. Now the question is, where did they get that idea from? Well, look at verse 6 in your text tonight. You are the Lord alone. You have made heaven and the heaven of heavens with all their host, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that is in them, and you preserve all of them, and the host of heavens, worships you. So notice what Israel is confessing here. They are confessing that there is only one eternal God who is above everything else, and that this God is also the one who created everything that exists. And this verse is by no means the only one who affirms such a thing. Notice, for example, Psalm 8, When I look at the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place. Clearly denoting the work of creation of God. Or Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. So scriptures, boys and girls, affirm very clearly there is no such a thing as a random explosion of molecules that created us. Rather, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This speaks about a God who created everything with a plan, everything with a purpose, with a design in his divine mind. Now, what kind of creator God is? Some, for example, have affirmed that God created the universe. Yes, yet he is the kind of God that just gave a push to the first atoms in the universe, and then they clashed and everything else came to be. And afterwards, he is really not concerned with his creation. He walked away because he is a busy God who has no time for his creation. Such is the understanding of some people today. Others say if there is a God, he is too busy to be concerned with us. Others affirm God is the universe, is like the force in Star Wars, an energy that runs through all of us and is impersonal. Eventually, when we die, we will join to it, and we will be part of it, and we will disappear in it. So according to them, God is entirely far away from us, or we are part of God, but God is incapable of doing anything about his creation. We just move with the flow, like Po in the Kung Fu Panda movie, making the flower bloom with the power of the universe. That's what they believe. But notice how different the scriptures are and how different the wording of the Heidelberg Catechism is, because our forefathers here affirm that God the Creator still upholds and rules all of his creation by his eternal counsel and providence. And by affirming this, as you know, they are simply affirming what the scriptures already teach. Hebrews 1:3, and he, that is God, upholds the universe by the word of his power. But what does it mean that God upholds and governs the universe, though? It means, brothers and sisters, boys and girls, that before everything existed, God had already a plan in his mind, a plan that includes everything from the movement of the smallest bacteria that exists and particle to the biggest star or the biggest thing that exists in the universe, to how the history of the world develops. And that when he created the world, he put this plan into action. The development of the eternal plan in history is called providence. God guiding everything. God in control of every single thing that exists. So everything that happens in history is in God's control. He's not a God who is far away from his creation. Actually, he's a God who is closely involved in his creation, guiding every single thing, everything that happens, the blooming of the flowers every single morning, the healthy bacteria that you and I have in our bellies, the movement of the earth, the change of the seasons, the last leaf that falls from the tree, the history of the nations, the way our bodies change, the friendships you will encounter. Everything is being guided and sustained by God, the Creator. See, what the Heidelberg is inviting us to do is to consider the magnificent work of God in creation, to put our phones and tablets away, and then to look around those and to meditate in God's greatness as we encounter them in creation. But even if you want to ignore creation, even if you want to lock your eyes in your phone or in your tablet, you can't still escape God's wonders in creation. Do you know why? Because of God's common grace. And in his involvement in history, he has made possible the development of a screen that you can interact with your hands and touch it and interact with it. It is God who has opened up the eyes of people so they can develop things like medicine, cars, video cameras, drones, and everything else. So you and I can't escape the fact that wherever we turn our eyes to, we are beholding God's upholding plan in history and God's power in sustaining this universe. Now, we will hear more about this in Lord's Day 10, so it is good that we just stop right here. And so far, we have seen how the Eternal Father of Jesus Christ is in the Scriptures attributed with the act of creating everything that exists, everything that there is, and that this Creator God is not far away from you or from me. Rather, He's very involved in everything that happens in history, and that happens even with us. Let's now move to our second point, to consider the fact that this God, Creator, is also the God who provides for me and for you. And this is the second point. And now, it sounds pretty cool that God is in control of every little thing and every big thing and every in-between thing that happens in this universe. But what does it profit me to know that? What does it profit you to know that? Well, the Heidelberg has the answer for that. That this God is my God and my Father for the sake of Christ, His Son. Now, let me read that again. Is my God and my Father for the sake of Christ, His Son. In other words, it is good for you to know the power of this God, boys and girls, because in Jesus Christ, He has become your Father too. Now, have you ever been involved in a fight, boys and girls, about your dads? Or maybe you, brothers and sisters, you have heard your kids fighting about their fathers, isn't it? And it is kind of funny. They say things like, well, my dad has a big truck. And the other one replies, oh yeah, mine has one bigger. And then the other goes, well, my dad is taller than you. And the other replies, well, mine is stronger. But mine is really good at shooting, goes the other one, and so on. And then, can you imagine both of these kids fighting, and there comes a third one, and he's hearing all this fight, and goes, well, mine created the universe. That will be a take that kind of moment, wouldn't it? But that is precisely the idea here. God in Jesus Christ is also your Father. The Creator of the universe knows you by name, boys and girls. The Creator of the universe loves to be your Father in Jesus Christ. The Creator of the universe loves to hear your happy prayers, about your meals, about your concerns, what makes you happy, what makes you sad, and everything in between. Can you imagine that? And the comfort is that whether you had a good father or a bad father, it really doesn't matter. Because the Father that we have is God Himself. Even if you had a bad father, one who had abandoned you or whatever, you have a better Father in Jesus Christ. A Father who will never, ever fail you. A Father who will never abandon you, who cares for you, who walks with you at every single step of your lives. This Heavenly Father, who is the most powerful being in the universe, has adopted you, has made you part of His family because of Jesus Christ. In Jesus, boys and girls, you have been adopted into the family of God. And the good thing about this is that your Father, brothers and sisters, will take care of you always. Always. Listen to Jesus in Matthew 6. Look at the birds, He says. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your Heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more of value than they? And now listen to the Heidelberg echoing the Scriptures. I trust God so much that I do not doubt He will provide whatever I need for body and soul. Going back to my question in my introduction, is someone in control of the universe? Is someone in charge of the universe? And the Scriptures reply, yes. God, who is my Father in Jesus Christ, is in control of the universe. The universe doesn't fall into pieces because God is sustaining it. And my life, your life, doesn't fall into pieces because God is sustaining it right now. We can go to bed tonight, brothers and sisters, and have a good night's sleep because we know God is taking care of us. I can enjoy today's work and today's providence, knowing that tomorrow God will still be sustaining me and taking care of me and of you. Twice in my life, congregation, twice in my life, I have been without employment. The first one, we were waiting for a baby in our lives. We didn't have a house to live in. We didn't have a car to move from one place to another. Not a single dime in our pockets. I'm not even sure if we will be able to have a meal in the next few hours. What in the world were we supposed to do? I trust God so much that I do not doubt He will provide whatever I need for body and soul, says the Heidelberg. I have been young, and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. Psalm 37. Psalm 27 reads, "For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in." What in the world were we supposed to do then? We are to trust in our Heavenly Father. He provides for our needs, body and soul. Every single one of your physical needs are covered, and the preaching of the word and the sacraments are covering all your spiritual needs. You and I are here tonight, congregation, and our presence tonight here in this place is a very clear witness of God's faithfulness to you, of God's fatherly care towards you. Does that mean that God will provide me the Ferrari that I have always wanted? After all, am I not a son or daughter of my King? No, that is not what it means. He will cover all of your needs, not your capriciousness and your sinful desires. Now, nothing wrong with having a Ferrari. Don't take me wrong. But even then, God knows to whom He entrusts such a thing. If you don't have one, it's because you don't need one. Don't lose your sleep over it. Now, does God fatherly care over me means that nothing wrong will happen to me? Well, to answer that question, we need to move to our third point. God cares of me. Notice how the Heidelberg continues. "And will turn to my good whatever adversity He sends upon me in this veil of tears." First, I want you to notice how this life down here in this present age is described in the Heidelberg. It is explicitly called a valley of tears. So this is not your best life, congregation. If you are in Jesus Christ, you are not going to experience a life where nothing goes wrong. A glittery life where everything is great. Not at all. This life is a valley of tears. You are going to suffer, and people around you are going to suffer, and because of that, you are going to suffer with them. And our society does not like suffering, do they? We prefer to ignore it. We prefer to sanitize it. If a person is getting too old or too sick, we euthanize them. If we have the smallest of the pains, we make sure that we mute it with some kind of drug. We just don't like suffering. And we all have this therapeutic mentality. The more people validate my feelings, the better. We are concerned with feeling well. But in His providence, God will send some unpleasant things to us. Difficult things. Sometimes because of us, sometimes despite of us. Sometimes obedient and faithful people suffer despite of their obedience. This life is a valley of tears. But see, here is the comfort of the gospel, that God will turn to my good whatever adversity He sends upon me. This is the famous Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. So what is the worst thing that could happen in history? Well, the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, of course. And yet, the worst thing that has happened in history has brought glory to God and everlasting life to you. The worst thing in your life, congregation, is going to do only two things: to bring glory to God and everlasting joy to you. Whatever God's providence has for us, is never for nothing. It is always for something good. It is always for making you more like Jesus Christ. And as you walk through this valley of tears, the temptation for us is always to look to our circumstances, the dark places that we're walking through, the problems, the sufferings, the things that we cannot control. But the Heidelberg, following the scriptures, wants us to move our eyes from the present tribulation we found ourselves in and the sufferings and all of the sorrows to the hope eternal that we have in Jesus Christ. This valley, in other words, will not be there forever. It has a due date. It will end. And the end will be glorious. Now, notice how the Heidelberg closes this whole question. He is able to do this because he is Almighty God. He desires to do this because he is a faithful Father. So not only is the God the creator of heaven and earth, not only is this God the Almighty God, all-powerful God, for whom nothing is impossible, but also in Jesus Christ, this all-powerful God, the God of creation, the God who sustains everything, is the God who is willing and is desiring to help you and to be with you at all times. And that is comforting. Power without love is nothing. An all-powerful God who does not love you is a God that you and I don't want to have. But a loving God without power is not a helpful God either. Yet the God of the scriptures is both powerful and loving. Powerful and willing to love you and to be with you. Because he loves you, he has sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross. Because he loves you, he has adopted you into his family. Because he is powerful, he sustains your whole life. No matter what you face, God will be with you. And why would God be with you, by the way? Because in Jesus Christ, again, he is your Father. And a God who is a faithful Father to you. He will never forsake you. He will never abandon you. So as we consider this universe around us, the amazing nature of creation and God's providential dealings with us in our life, in good days, in bad days, we're called to look to him as our Heavenly Father. We belong to him in Jesus, and nothing will change that. So tonight, may the Holy Spirit apply these truths to our lives. Amen. Let's pray. What a privilege it is that we can call you our Father. And we thank you, dear Lord, that you are indeed our Father. Many of us may look back to our past, maybe thinking about our own earthly fathers and how poorly, according to our own standards, we may think they performed. And yet, Lord, what a comfort it is that we now know that you are our Father, better Father, who will never fail us, never forsake us. So help us to take comfort in that. Help us to remember in times of tribulations, in times of grief and sorrow, and even in times of happiness and joy, that you are our Father who is always with us. In that, Lord, help us to draw our comfort. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.